Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
This is All of It. I'm Allison Stewart. This year marks a decade since the film distribution and production company A24 was founded, and just this week, a slate of A24 films, including titles like Ex Machina and Room, dropped on HBO Max, which is HBO Max for now at least. Look it up. Few independent film studios have amassed the kind of fan devotion and brand recognition that A24 has in its last 10 years. Their movies have also earned a great deal of critical acclaim. Barry Jenkins' Moonlight, the first film fully financed by A24, won the Oscar for Best Picture in 2016. And the studio has proven it can compete financially. This year, A24 had its biggest box office hit yet with the action movie Everything Everywhere All at Once. It just crossed the $100 million mark globally, putting it among the top 25 biggest releases of the year thus far. And A24, which by the way is named after an Italian motorway, shows no signs of slowing down. They found continued success producing for TV with titles like Euphoria, Rami, and Random Acts of Flyness. And in the last year, they've quietly launched a record label. Looking ahead, their roster of planned films goes deep with projects from directors including Claire Denis, Darren Aronofsky, Ari Aster, and Steve McQueen. Even R&B singer Frank Ocean is reportedly going to direct a film with backing from the studio. Here now to explain A24's rise to peak cool in the film industry is Washington Post pop culture reporter Sonia Rao. Hi, Sonia. Welcome.
Hi. Thanks for having me.
Hey, listeners, A24 fans, we want to hear from you. Do you have a favorite A24 movie? Let us know what it is and why. Our phone number is 212-433-9692, 212-433-WNYC. And here's another question if you're a fan of A24, if you are a filmophile. How would you describe A24's aesthetic? Do you have questions about their success? 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692, calling all cinephiles and fans of A24. So, if you had to capture a unifying quality, Sonia, of their movies, of A24's movies, what would you say it is?
I think the word unexpected comes to mind for me. I think, you know, it's easy to say that you go into a movie and don't expect something. I think most filmmakers don't want their, you know, viewers to expect everything they're going to see on screen. But for me personally, I think A24 really tries to capture that feeling of, oh, wow, I didn't think I would see this. Or, you know, after you leave the theater, 2 days later, you're still thinking about that weird feeling you had after leaving the theater. So I think they're, you know, they're really trying to get at something. They're trying to make people, you know, maybe a little uncomfortable. It doesn't always have to be in a negative sense, you know, but I think they're really just trying to push the limits there.
You wrote in a 2019 article, the A24 house style is that there is no house style, which I think is interesting. What did you mean by that?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, even in the titles you just listed, you know, Moonlight and Lady Bird come to mind because they were so big and very close in terms of when they were released. They're so different, right? You can watch each of these movies and say, this feels like an A24 movie, but they don't have a ton in common other than being maybe coming of age movies. And so I think what I mean by that is they don't have a house style because they really lean into the filmmakers' styles, individual styles, or they try to. And I think that in itself is kind of their brand.
When you Google, I Googled A24 worldwide box office numbers, and this is the top 20 films. I'm going to read them quickly because to your point, Everything Everywhere All at Once, Hereditary, Lady Bird, Moonlight, Uncut Gems, Midsommar, The Witch, Ex Machina, Room, Spring Breakers, The Disaster Artist, Amy, The Farewell, It Comes at Night, The Green Knight, The Lighthouse, While We're Young, Minari, Eighth Grade, The Children Act. That's just the top 20. There's a whole another 25 on this list. How did A24 start? I know it was three guys, Daniel Katz, David Finkel, and John Hodges. What were their backgrounds before? How did they come together?
Well, I think what's important to note about the beginning of this company is that they weren't like producing movies at the beginning. And I think that's kind of the huge shift that we saw with them is that these three guys came together and they were like, hey, we're going to distribute things we think are cool. So, you know, that means you're going to festivals, you're picking up rights, you know, it doesn't mean you're there from point A onward. And so I think, you know, in looking at this, the past 10 years of this career, of their careers, but also of this company developing, it's notable to say, hey, you know, they reached a point in time where they were able to prove to filmmakers that they could support their visions from the very beginning. They could help them scout locations. You know, they could be involved with the production itself. And that's, you know, now they are producing a ton of stuff on their own.
That's so interesting. So they started basically by having good taste.
In
many ways,
so, yeah.
as being able to identify interesting films and interesting filmmakers.
Right. And I mean, you look at the names they worked with. They worked with Coppolas early on, right? So it's not necessarily mm-hmm. like these are completely unknown people, but there definitely is kind of a discerning eye that went into the beginning and that I think they continue to develop over time.
It's interesting because people know A24, but I'm not sure the average person, even someone who's really interested mm-hmm. in film and cinema, would necessarily know these three names. What does it mean that we know this brand, but we don't necessarily know the people behind the brand?
Yeah. So, I mean, as you mentioned, I wrote that piece in 2019. 3 years have passed. And to this mm-hmm. day, I still don't know a lot about those guys that you named early on. And I think that is, you know, at the time they were saying, hey, you know, we actually don't want to comment on the record for this story because we want the story to be about our output and not about the people behind the scenes. You know, I think if you're thinking about indie studios of this nature, Miramax comes up. Always in mm-hmm. discussions. People knew that Harvey Weinstein was behind Miramax. You know, this is for horrible reasons, but also just for industry reasons. This was a guy people knew. And I think, you know, A24 has kind of taken a different approach to that. They've really tried to put their filmmakers at the forefront. And so far, I think it's been working for them.
That's interesting. I thought about Miramax when mm-hmm. I was, you know, reading the articles about A24, and that A24 is somewhat filling that void, because regardless, you know, we actually spoke to Ken Aletta a couple of weeks ago about his book about Harvey Weinstein, and part of the book is obviously about all the horrible things he did, but also about how he created Miramax and how unusual that was, and what good taste he did have, and how he did support filmmakers, and obviously that's all gone away. So I'm wondering if A24 is filling a certain void that was left from a place like Miramax.
I think there's room for that. And I think, you know, there are other players here, you know, mm-hmm. Searchlight Pictures, for example, but then they've got bought by Disney. So, you know, there are a lot of studios that are kind of being absorbed into larger corporations. I wouldn't honestly be surprised if A24 down the line, you know, had to do that for monetary reasons or chose to do it for whatever reason. But I do think that there's something significant, at least for an outsider, to look at this studio and say, hey, you know, Disney doesn't own that yet. Maybe they are like their own thing right now.
My guest is Sonia Rowe, pop culture reporter for The Washington Post. We're talking about the rise of A24. Listeners, if you're a fan of any A24 film, we want to hear from you. Do you have a favorite one? Let us know what it is and why. How would you describe the A24 aesthetic? Our phone lines are open. 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692, or you can always send us a message on social media at @allofitWNYC. So Sonia, for your article, you spoke to a number of filmmakers who have made movies with A24, Barry Jenkins, David Lowery, Lulu Wang. What was something that you heard, a common refrain from filmmakers about why they liked working with A24?
You know, what they told me at the time was there is a feeling of independence, you know, both in the sense of it being an indie studio, but in the relationship that, you know, they would have with the people at the studio itself. They all kind of stressed that, you know, we were able to kind of do what we wanted, and they were there, you know, to give feedback if we wanted that. But for the most part, we're just kind of like, hey, here's, you know, if they were producing, they're like, here's some money, go make your movie. Or if they were distributing, you know, they would be involved with, you know, maybe grassroots campaigning, is what Lulu Wang described it as. But ultimately, a lot of it was up to the filmmaker and their vision. And I think that is rare in this industry. And it isn't something that you get with marketing, right? Sometimes it's, you know, you go to a smaller studio for the independent feel, but then the marketing campaign is not as strong. And I think some of these filmmakers are really grateful for what they felt like was, you know, decent marketing as well.
Oh, that's interesting. That's part of their strength as a distribution arm?
I think so. And I think, I mean, they've definitely faltered. I, you know, Under the Silver Lake, I mentioned in the piece, this is a movie that came out and kind of just left. You know, it was mm-hmm. just like dumped on video on demand. They're not always perfect. And I think there are a lot of examples of that. But at the same time, you know, you look at a movie like Everything Everywhere All at Once just came out. I think that the marketing for that was everywhere it needed to be to hit that $100 million mm-hmm. mark. You know, it was reaching the right people online. They kind of had this word of mouth thing going as well. That starts somewhere, right? It starts with the studio. It starts with the marketing. And so I think they have kind of figured out how to do it. They have merch. They're, you know, reaching the right people. They're reaching the so-called tastemakers who then can, you know, disperse the messaging about these movies. So I think they're kind of leaning into the right places right now.
It's interesting you mentioned Everything Everywhere All at Once because the directors of that, the Daniels, it was announced yesterday, signed a 5-year deal with Universal. So, which is, I think, kind of interesting. Some people would say, oh, you should dance with the one you brung you. But then there's another school of thought, like, well, use A24 as a stepping stone. Has that happened with anybody else, to your knowledge, where they've started with A24 and gone on to engage with someone else long term?
Yeah, I mean, I want to say Barry Jenkins, actually. Beale Street was not, if Beale Street Could Talk, was not an A24 movie. And so I think, you know, there is a romanticizing of, you know, I love this mm-hmm. studio, they gave me my big break, all of that. It's still a business, right? It's whoever offers you the best deal. Maybe Universal gave them the better deal. You know, maybe one day someone goes to Netflix. Netflix is doing its own thing with movies right now, mm-hmm. so who's to say? But, you know, I really do think it comes down to individual deals, and A24 at the same time, you know, they've got the coolness factor, but they have to back it up too.
How was, now we talked about Barry Jenkins, how was Moonlight a turning point for A24 when it won the Best Picture Oscar in 2016?
I think that was a huge stamp of approval. And as you mentioned earlier, you know, it was the first movie that they produced, if I'm not mistaken. So not only was mm-hmm. it, you know, this movie we distributed rose to the highest level of the industry in terms of being recognized, it was also this movie we produced. You know, we are capable of owning a project in this sense. And so I think, you know, Moonlight was big for so many reasons, right? Because of its subject matter, because of the art that was actually in the film itself. But I think that was, yeah, I think an Oscar, you know, it means some things, it, you know, it doesn't really mean other things in the industry mm-hmm. these days, but I think it always will have that kind of, oh, you know, if this person, if this studio can bring their artists an Oscar, maybe I'll go there. You know, they can attract bigger names that way. They can, you know, maybe attract more money that way. Mm-hmm. I think it's just, it's always going to be that stamp of approval.
Cool's great. As old folks used to say, you can't eat cool. Mm-hmm. Cool does not Absolutely. Always mean financial success. Has A24's coolness factor translated into financial success in any way compared to other studios, or is that sort of the elephant in the room?
You know, I am not amazing with numbers. I will say this recent 100 million mark that they crossed, I think, is significant. I think mm-hmm. it shows, especially with this movie in particular, I think it shows that they have the ability to, again, market movies that are quote unquote untraditional. I mean, I think, listen, it's a movie about a family, right? This movie right. speaks to everybody. It's about the human experience, about the human condition, all of that. In the most cynical sense, it is also a movie led by an Asian woman. And traditionally in Hollywood, you have to fight harder to market movies like that. And I think A24 being able to hit this mark with this movie in particular about
Everything Everywhere All at Once is what we're talking about.
Yeah, sorry, Everything Everywhere All at Once, what we're talking about. Michelle Yeoh led the movie. I think that's significant. I think it proves that, you know, maybe they'll be able to do it again. Maybe they'll be able to sustain this. But the industry is crazy and lots of changing. We're seeing tons changing. You know, they're putting all these movies on HBO Max as HBO Max is like going through some crazy changes that we're not even fully aware of yet. So we'll see what happens. Yeah.
In March, A24 received an equity investment of $225 million, valuing it at over $2.5 billion. Where does money like that go? Does it go right back into filmmaking? Does it go back into the marketing? All of the above?
I think the hope would be both. It depends on the filmmakers, right? You know, are you going to give this person a blank check? Have they earned that yet? Are you going to, you know, watch closely, see if they can, you know, produce with that much money? I think it depends on who they're working with. But they do, I have seen marketing campaigns from them like amp up a lot. So I think that they're definitely devoting dollars there, maybe more than they had in the past.
Do you have a favorite A24 movie?
You know, I always think it's Lady Bird, and then I forgot that one of my favorite movies of all time, 20th Century Women, is also an A24 movie. It's an Annette Bening movie, you know, just about her raising her son, and I want to say the 60s or 70s, directed by Mike Mills. It's just a wonderful movie. I don't know. I watch it like every year. It's just, you know, one of those movies where you spend time with people. But yeah, Lady Bird is also a favorite of mine. I love Greta Gerwig. I love Saoirse Ronan. Just a classic, heartwarming coming of age story. And both of those are about, you know, mother-child relationships, a favorite theme of mine.
Sonia Rowe is pop culture reporter for The Washington Post. We were talking about the rise of A24. As someone wrote in, I don't look for A24 movies, but I see it on screen. I know it's going to be a quality movie. Thanks for your comment. And thank you, Sonia, for joining us.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me.